Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
But Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, shut your door, and pray to God who sees you in secret, and God will reward you openly. Your promise for this hidden prayer that no one knows to get an answer for that prayer. That's pretty significant.
Today on Practical Christian Living, we are studying heavenly rewards. What are they? How do we get them? And should the believer be motivated by getting rewards? It's a matter of the heart and our humility before God. We're in Luke 19, 11 through 27. Please stay with us. Here comes Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The Bible says in Luke 12, 48, for everyone to whom much is given, to him much is required. So the guy with 10 minus was required more because he was given. Now he has 10 minus. To whom much is given, much is required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So he's giving it to the guy that he knows can do the best with it. And this may speak of a principle: be faithful in the little things, and God will make you, allow you greater things. So be faithful. Don't just think it's a small thing. I don't have to be faithful in it. Be faithful in the very small things. The Bible says, don't despise the days of small beginnings. And it's a test. God's just testing to see whether or not he's going to give you more, whether or not you've got the character, the heart, the desire to be able to do more for him. So don't despise those days. Now, finally, in the parable, it comes to this horrible ending. Remember the people that said, that sent a delegation, we don't want this man to rule over us? Here's what the nobleman says. This is not necessarily Jesus, but it's the nobleman. But bring here these enemies of mine who do not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. And here it would speak of Jesus going and getting a kingdom and returning as the judge. Jesus said in John 5:22, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. It is the Son who's going to judge. In Psalms 2, this is Old Testament, right? And there are several little sections in there about the Son of God in Psalm 2. It's a messianic psalm. It says, who is the Son of God? Can you tell me his name? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. Make peace with the Son, because he is the judge. Now, a lot of people don't like the fact that God's his judge. I'm having kind of an ongoing conversation with someone right now who tells me, I don't know that I can follow God because I don't like the fact that he's a judge. I argue with him a little bit. You don't like judges at all in general? Don't think we should have judges at all in general? Because God judges the wicked. There's a lot of wicked things happening every night around the world. There are horrible things happening that need to have justice take place. And you don't like the fact that God's going to hold people accountable for what they do? And that just means he holds everyone accountable. And that maybe is the part we don't like. But God's completely fair. Remember that. In the end, he is completely fair. Now, I don't want to talk. We'll talk about judgment, the judgment of God later. All right. But now I want to talk about rewards. So that's the end of the parable. And we see clearly that we are rewarded for the things that we do. And this is what's being spoken about there. So first of all, the Bible clearly tells us that we get rewards. I'm not going to go over all the passages. I wrote them out in my notes, but I realize my notes are way too long for the amount of time I have to be able to preach. And I'm not going to go over all of them. If you want to look up rewards and look at these passages, let me just give you one of them. Paul is in prison and he's ministered to, this is the end of his life, and he's ministered to a little poor city named Philippi. And Philippi is the only church who gave him anything while he was in prison. From out of Corinth, the churches in Galatia, Colossae, Ephesus, only Philippi shared with him there. And Paul says, I'm so thankful for your gift. Not that I seek your gift, but the fruit that abounds to your account. And that's Philippians 4:17. And we have many other passages like that. Our works will be rewarded. And then in heaven, there will be the Bema judgment seat. The rewards at the Olympiad was called the Bema seat. And in each city, there was a Bema seat judgment. There was the great judgment seat of Caesar. That's like the great white judgment throne. And then there's the Bema seat, which judges all the things that we do, our rewards. And as I said, the rewards that we get are going to be tested. They're going to be piled up, lit on fire. And if you had the wrong motives, if you were doing something out of selfish ambition, if you were doing something because to be seen by men, if you were doing something so you could tell people the good things you did, it's going to be lit on fire and go away. And some are going to have it completely burned up, be saved as though through fire. But most people are going to have something remain. I think Billy Graham's stuff, D.L. Moody's stuff, Charles Spurgeon's stuff, F.B. Meyer, these great men of the past, is going to be piled up, going to be lit on fire, and a lot of wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burned away because they did things in front of men. Jesus said, when you do something in front of men and they tell you how good it is, you've already received your reward. So a lot of what somebody does in public, people come up and go, that was so awesome. Thanks for stealing my reward. Great. Now I don't get anything for it. But everybody, I mean, man's heart, right? And there's nobody who's so good that everything's going to be lit on fire and the whole thing's going to remain. We're all going to have some wood, hay, and stubble in there. We're all going to be doing things through selfish ambition. Now, how do we get these rewards? The Bible promises them. How do we get them? I think, first of all, if we stand back and go, if I do things for Christ and if I love the people around me, I'm going to get rewards. I don't know that I got to memorize every place in the Bible where it says, do this and you're going to get a reward for it. Just stand back, do things for Christ, and love people, and there will be rewards that will come. But let me just give you a few quickly that the Bible tells us we're going to be rewarded for so you can get an idea of the type of things the Bible says we're going to get rewards for. Number one, giving to the needs of others. In Matthew 10:42, it says, if you give a cold glass of water in a disciple's name, you will not lose your reward. That tells us the rewards are we're not going to lose them. And it also tells us it can be very small, because who can't give a cold glass of water to someone who's thirsty? So don't think so big and significant. Think, what can I do? It's very important. Also, in the name of the disciple, you don't have to give them the water and say, in the name of a disciple, I give you water, in order to get your reward. All right? It just simply means you're a disciple and you're doing it in the name of a disciple. That's all it means. Doesn't mean you're telling them. Okay? Living for Christ, even when you're treated badly. I read that passage earlier. When you are persecuted for him, you will receive rewards. So when people mistreat you at work or in your home, family, because you're a Christian, there are rewards. Financial generosity. I won't cover all the passages. There are too many. Just two categories. Making friends with heaven, with your mammon, with your stuff and your money. Making friends for heaven, which may end up being one of the rewards, by the way, that we know that we have helped people get to heaven. And when we get there, there are friends. That's a pretty significant thought. Hanging on to the truth, 2 John 1:7-8. I really won't expound on that here. Prayer in private. Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites and pray out on the street corner, but go into your room and pray when you're alone. Somehow we think if we could get 20 really righteous people together, then that's how God would answer prayer. But Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, shut your door, and pray to God who sees you in secret, and God will reward you openly. You're promised for this hidden prayer that no one knows to get an answer for that prayer. That's pretty significant. And maybe instead of trying to find people, will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? Just go in your closet. Something's on your heart. Call out to God where no one sees. And then when your husband says, where were you? Oh, in the closet. Oh, of course you were. I didn't mean anything by that, by the way. Hospitality. Jesus said, when you invite people over for a feast, don't just invite the people who can invite you back. So when you're being hospitable towards people, be hospitable towards those who are poor, to those who can't help you. Loving your enemy. Jesus said, love your enemy, bless those who curse you. You're going to be rewarded for that. Do you have an enemy? How about a lot of enemies? It's an opportunity to love them, to receive rewards. Loving the unlovable. Jesus said, even the ungodly love love people who love them back. What good is that to you, but love the unlovable? Being faithful with what God has given you. That's just a few examples. So what could hurt our rewards? If those are things we can do to get them, what can hurt them? Number one, not doing those things, okay, that we just talked about. Number two, selfish ambition. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, do nothing through selfish ambition. This ought to be a plaque that is on the pulpit of every preacher that ever preaches. Do nothing through selfish ambition. It ought to be for Christ. This is not something that's easy because we want to be, you know, seen by men. We want things to be effective. We want things to be efficient. It can easily be the wrong motive. I can honestly say that I've done things because of selfish ambition, and I think every pastor has, and it's something we have to evaluate. Narcissism, pastors who are narcissistic, it's a big problem. You know who Narcissus was? He was a Greek god who was good looking, and he wandered into a cave, and he found a pool of water in a cave. It was really still, and he looked at himself. He thought, hey, that's a good looking guy. And he stared into the water until he died. He got so enamored with himself that he didn't eat or drink anything and just died. That's narcissism. You get so enamored with yourself. And I think there's a lot of narcissism today, especially with social media. And I'm not pointing fingers. I'm pointing fingers with fingers being pointed back to me, okay? There's a lot of narcissism today that can take place because of social media. We even make ourselves look better. It's like, well, I'm gonna look better. I'm gonna look better than that. And then we stare at it forever, looking for responses. How many likes did I get? How many likes did I get? Until you die. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition. Try to do it from an honest heart. And I'm, again, not telling you that as someone who's never had selfish ambition, okay? I think everybody has, especially everybody who's been in any leadership role. It's something you struggle with. Don't do things to be seen by men. Matthew 6:1. When you pray, don't do it to be seen by men. When you fast, don't do it to be seen by men. Not for personal profit. That's 1 Peter 5:2. When you're doing what you do for God, don't do it for dishonest gain. A lot of people have done things for God for dishonest gain. And be faithful to the things that God has called you to do. Those are the things are not being faithful to what God's called you to do. Those are the things that can hurt your reward. Now let's talk really quickly about what those rewards are or what they're not, first of all. So usually when you have a message on rewards, they're going to say something like, there's five crowns in the Bible and these are five crowns are your rewards. The five crowns are these: righteousness, rejoicing, life, imperishable, and glory. There's a crown of glory, imperishable crown, crown of life, crown of rejoicing, crown of righteousness. And people will say, well, these are our rewards. And I'm not quite sure what they mean. Am I going to go to my closet in heaven? Which crown do I want to put on today? The crown of righteousness. That's the one that I'm going to wear around heaven today. None of these are, we get righteousness from God. We rejoice because of our in Christ. We have life because of him. And it's imperishable because it's imperishable. None of those are rewards. Only the crown of glory is a reward. And the crown of glory, it says, for those who lead people to Christ, I'm paraphrasing it, for those who lead people to Christ, you will receive the crown of glory. So God wants to give a special reward when you live your life as a witness, as a testimony to him. You plant, you water. Doesn't mean you get people saved, you pray for people to be saved. It simply means you plant, you water, you live your life so people can see Christ. You care about the lost. That's the only reward that I see. We talked about rewards being an increased responsibility in the millennium and in eternity. That could be one of them. Another one could be friends in heaven. That could be our reward. We do what we do for God here today. And when we get to heaven, God says, these are your friends here because you lived your life and they were influenced by you in one way or another. And they're here partially because of you. That would be great. That'd be a wonderful reward, wouldn't it? That we lived our lives in such a way. The Bible says that those who win many to the Lord will shine like the stars forever in Daniel chapter 12. That would be a great reward. I think that could be it. But there's one more, and that is that in Revelation, there's 24 elders who are there, and they cast their crowns before the throne of God, before the Lamb. Now, who are these 24 elders? We really don't know, but I'll tell you who I think it is. And I'll even tell you my deep theological reasoning to get me to this spot. So there were 12 disciples and there were 12 tribes of Israel who were the 12 sons of Jacob. There's 24 elders. So I think it's Israel and the church. 24, you know, disciples and 24 elders. Is there any passage in the Bible that points to that? Is there any evidence that I have at all that could make a reference that that's who these guys are? No. My simple reason is 12 and 12 is 24. There's 24 of them. Must be the same people. By the way, that's really a bad way to form your theology. It doesn't mean I'm wrong, but it's a really bad way to build theology. You just don't want to be too dogmatic when you do things that way, all right? But what interests me is that these 24 elders cast their crowns before the Lord. And I'm wondering if when our motives are tested, our works are tested, and some gold, silver, and jewels remain, that we might have something to offer back to Christ in eternity. To say, Lord, you blessed me and you loved me, and I did this work for you, and this is yours. We toss it back before the throne. And around the throne is the rewards of the saints. I don't know. Maybe. I like that idea. I like it the very best. Because what do we need rewards in heaven for? We have him. We have it all. We have everything, right? But God did give it to us to motivate us. So let's live wholeheartedly for the reward. I want to close out with this. Only the things done for Christ will remain. That's a quote that I tried to look who said it. It's attributed to several different people. But only the things done for Christ will remain. So do what you do for Christ. When you're working your job, the Bible says, don't do it for your boss, do it for Jesus. You got a horrible boss? You say, I don't want to work hard for him. He's awful. He's the worst manager ever. No, I worked for the worst manager ever. But do it to Christ, and you're doing the best you can for that guy, not because he deserves it as a boss, but because you're doing it for Christ. You say, my kids have hit the teen years and they are ungrateful, unthankful. I can't believe my children turned into this. I want to make them lousy lunches. No, make lunches like you're making lunches for Jesus. And you'll be rewarded for it. The Bible says that. Do everything you do for Christ. If that's the case, how can you not be rewarded if that's your true heart? Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this passage. It's rich. We thank you for all you're doing. We pray that we would continue to grow in you. Thank you that you allow us to work for you. You could easily just say, just stand back, let me do it. But you let us be involved in it, and that's a great blessing. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for a couple of minutes. But I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you have never been born again. Jesus said you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You say, well, I've gone to church my whole life. Yeah, but have you been born again? You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, but have you been born again? The Bible doesn't say good people are going to go to heaven or people that have gone to church their whole life are going to get to go to heaven. It says you have to be born again. And when you are, you receive him. You have to invite him in. He's looking for an invitation. And when you invite him in, you now begin to live for him. And you believe him. You believe he rose from the dead and is alive and will give you eternal life. What an incredible work he did for us. And if you are here today and you would like to receive Christ, stop living for yourself and living for him. And if you've made a commitment in the past, but you walked away from it and didn't follow through with it, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as well. Get a fresh start here today of saying, I'm now ready to live for him. If you want to invite Christ into your life, you want to start living for him, I'm going to ask you to do something simple right where you are. Just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God bless you guys. Down in the front. That's great. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am, both under the balcony there. That's great. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. This could be your day of glory, the day that God has chosen you, the day God chose for you to come into the kingdom from before the foundations of the world. God bless you up in the balcony. That's great. God bless you, sir, up in the balcony as well. That's great. God bless you. Behind the sound booth, that's awesome. God bless you, sir. That's great. All right. You could put your hands down, and if you're online, you don't have to raise your hand. Just simply pray this prayer with me. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the power of your resurrection. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Listen, I'm so excited for you. When I was 19 years old, I had walked away from God and began to really live my own life. And I came back to Him. And I was transformed by Him again. And He's going to transform you. He's got a plan and a purpose. And He makes us into whom He wants to make us into. The Bible says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. There's a new believers table. And we've got a new believers team. We want to give you a new believers packet. We want to come alongside of you and help you. If you're online, send us a text, ready for Jesus, to 94,000. The link you get back is our new believers card. Fill that out. It's got a place to tell us your story. Give us your testimony, what God's doing. And there's a place you can check to be baptized. And if you go over to the new believers table, they'll let you know when our next baptism is. It's important to be baptized. It's just something you do as a symbol of your old man, old woman being buried and coming out in the newness of Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit to live the new life that God has called you to live. All right. Now I want to pray for you. And I like to pray for you based on what we've been looking at. So I want to pray about you being faithful with what God has given you, whatever level that is. So the Bible says, let men lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands. And I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for those that are here with their hands raised, those online with their hands raised. I want to pray, Lord, you'd help us. Help us that we're not afraid. Help us that we aren't lazy. Help us that we aren't distracted by the cares and the worries of this world, so that we just don't do the things you've called us to do. We aren't concerned about the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Maybe just live in our lives instead of living yours. Help us that we could truly do the things you call us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now I want to bless you. And the blessing, a blessing is a spoken prayer. And the blessing I use is out of Numbers. And it's got the name Yahweh in it three times. The Tetragrammaton, YHWH. And we lost the real pronunciation of that. At least I think we have the real pronunciation of that. But God's name is three times in there, Yah or Yahweh. And it's the Lord. Because when the Jews would write, the Jewish scribes would write God's name, they wrote Lord instead of Yahweh because the name of God was so holy. So this is the way you were to speak God's name over his people back in the Old Testament times. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you be filled with the Spirit, and may you have a passion for souls, your friends, your families, your coworkers and acquaintances who don't know Christ. May God give you the Spirit and opportunities to water and to sow, and God will add the increase. It's not our responsibility to add it. We just water and we sow, and God adds the increase. It's kind of the picture of your garden in your house. You plant it, you water it, and it grows. Not because you made it grow. You just did the water and the planting. That's how the kingdom of God works.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.